Obey the gospel. We want to start with Proverbs 19, and we want to go to verse 21 through 23. Proverbs 19, 21 through 23. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. I'd like to speak about this today when we speak about life building. So let's go over this briefly. There are many devices. There's all sorts of plans. There's all sorts of tugs and pulls and explanations about the world and how to think and solutions and all sorts of stuff in a man's heart. Your brain, your heart, your convictions, your will is bombarded by messages from all over the place. As I have said, it goes into your eyes and into your ears for the key terrain of your mind, for the prize of your soul. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. It's God's wisdom. It's God's ideas. It's God's purpose that is actually going to stand. So you can think that you're going to do whatever you want, but God is going to get his way. The desire of a man is his kindness, right? So people want out of man to be kind. They want them to be replicated out of your kind, right? And a poor man is better than a liar. So this is speaking about the fact that we're not really wanting to be rich more than we don't want to be a liar. Being a liar is bad, right? God's counsel stands. And what's God's counsel? A poor man is better than a liar. So if the many devices of this world are going to be tugging your way and your solutions this and that, God's purpose is going to stand, and God's is like the desire of a man is his kindness. The poor man is better than a liar. Lastly, the fear of the Lord, we've heard that before. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. So if you're following God, if you fear God and you're doing what he says, that tends to life, that keeps your life. And how does the Bible speak about keeping your life? And he that hath it, what do you have? Fear of the Lord. So he that has the fear of the Lord shall abide, shall live, shall remain satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Now this is speaking about a home, a residence. If you're going to keep life, then that means you have the purpose of the Lord, which is to fear God. And if you have the fear of the Lord, that tends to make your home satisfied, and you will not be visited. You don't want your home visited with evil, which would be the schemes of man and the such. Okay, my name is Jaron Jackson, I'm the Lulu of America. Good morning. I'd like to speak to you about life building, if I can. Where's my graphic? Right here. This graphic right here is what I want to speak about, and it's going to be a hodgepodge of a couple different ideas. I want to start, if I can, Lord willing, with Bill Maher, and just speaking the truth bluntly. And if I could, I'd like to direct your attention to inviting other people who don't normally listen to me to listen to this live stream. And the reason why is because I believe that there's a lot of bad things that are going on. I believe most people don't like what's happening, don't like what they see. Life doesn't make sense. Things seem bleak, as though there's no hope, there's no getting out. Experts have so constituted themselves in monopolies of solutions that people have to be paying for things that are simple and breakthroughs and ways of thinking about the world. And it's God's provision that he gave us his Bible, that if we listen and read the word of God, things are made plain. And Lord willing, I will make things plain today for people who are struggling to make sense of the world. I'd like to direct your attention to the way that you can support me in this ministry, support my family, when you shop at patriotswitch.com. That's a blessing to my family. This is taking the money that you're already spending and you switch it over to American manufacturing. If you don't want your money going to companies that hate you, hate America, propagandizing young people, peddling ideas that are destructive to the American way of life, use your dollars that you're already shopping and direct them to a different target. Put them in an American manufacturing company, American jobs, better products, price competitive, in many cases cheaper. And every single time you spend my my family gets a benefit that's a blessing to me. Sign up at patriotswitch.com/Jaren, patriotswitch.com/Jaren. Okay, let's talk about this idea. I want to start with the idea of truth. Life building begins with the idea of truth. Now, last week, Bill Maher, this atheist comedian, far left atheist comedian, was speaking about abortion, and he spoke so bluntly about the truth regarding abortion, which is really just womb murder. Now, him speaking the truth, recognize him using words that were true and the reaction it got. We'll speak about this. I'm going to use this video just to show when people say things that are true, the truth being spoken has an immediate impact, regardless of the area that you're in. So the very first idea of life building, as we saw in the Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 through 23, the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. So speak the truth. Commentary after this. Let's go.
Not if you believe it's murder. You know, that's why I don't understand the 15-week thing. Or the Trump's plan is, let's leave it to the states. You mean, so killing babies is okay in some states? Like, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women. People who aren't pro-life, pro-choice. They don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm sorry, we won't miss you. That's my position on that. What?
That's quite harsh, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not
is
sure
that
you're
not your
much.
Position if you're pro-choice?
Now, there's a lot of things that I really love about this video. I don't like how these people are flippant and they're just dismissive of womb murder. But recognize the fact that Bill Maher, whom I disagree with on a lot of things, he very bluntly calls womb murder, murder. And then he even says, it is kind of murder. He even points out the hypocrisy of people like President Trump and any of these other rhinos who compromise on murder. It can be done after 15 weeks. It has to be kicked down to the state. This is hypocrisy. So recognize very clearly, here you have someone who hates God, hates hypocrisy. That's the first thing. So speaking truth at its very core level is a universal thing because it goes against what everybody hates, which is hypocrisy. People hate hypocrisy. They hate hypocrites. Because why would you present yourself as a fake or a fraud? No one can trust you at that point, which gets down to the issue of what a relationship is. And if your relationship is built on a lie, but you're posing as though it's not, then you're a hypocrite. I can't trust you. It undermines everything that I've heard from you. I've talked to you. I don't even know who you are if you're lying to me. So that's the first idea. The second idea is that notice by him calling it murder, it slices through all the language that is designed to bypass that truth. If you've got a baby in the womb and you do things to the womb or to the baby to end the life of the baby in the womb, that's murder. Whether you chop it, suck it out, use chemicals to dissolve it, whatever it is that you do, whatever the schemes of man have designed to destroy the life in the womb, it is murder. Period. So when you say the word murder, there's no equivocation to what is actually happening. So you clarify what's happening and there's no wiggle room because the truth is plain. That's the second issue. So the first, people don't like hypocrisy. The second, truth clarifies and makes things plain. Do not miss that. Do not miss that truth clarifies and makes things plain. All right, my volume's low, it's low. Turn it up. I don't know how to change it. I don't know how to change it. The truth, people don't like hypocrisy, and people don't like See, this is what happens whenever I get text messages during stuff. It throws me off. People don't like hypocrisy, and people don't like, or people see that the truth makes things plain. So recognize that something that else is going on here. The other thing that's going on here is that it forces people to take a position on truth. Instead of using words that are designed to rope in and bypass truth, right? The words abortion are designed to bypass truth. So instead, when things are clarified, it forces people to take a position on what is true. You are either on this side or that side. Jesus did the same thing in Matthew 12, verse 30. Let me turn to that real fast and we can look at that. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, when Jesus is talking to people about how he, about how Jesus thinks about stuff. Where's my, I just put in my pen. Do this. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30 says this. He that is not with me is against me. There's your categories. You are either with Jesus or against Jesus. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Jesus thinks in those categories. You are either with Christ or you're against him. You're either on the side of truth or you're against it. So again, people hate hypocrisy. Truth clarifies the issue. Truth forces people to take a position either for or against truth. And then ultimately, what it obviously did at the very end, truth gets a reaction. People respond to it. You heard his audience, and I'll play it again. You heard his audience when Bill Maher said, it's murder. There's 8 billion people. I don't care. It's murder. You heard the audience, and we'll play it again. You heard the audience go, ooh. And this is a liberal audience. This is an atheist audience. This is an audience that doesn't love Jesus. So here you have someone who hates Jesus say the truth because he hates hypocrisy. The truth clarifies the issue. The truth forces people to make a decision, and the truth always gets a response. Let's play this again. Watch for those four things. Watch this.
Not if you believe it's murder. You know, that's why I don't understand the 15-week thing. Or the Trump's plan is, let's leave it to the states. You mean, so killing babies is okay in some states? Like, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women, people who aren't pro-life, pro-choice. They don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm sorry, we won't miss you. That's my position on that. What?
That's quite harsh, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not
is
sure
that not your
much.
Position if you're pro-choice?
You see, the truth goes against hypocrisy, so it's unifying in the sense that people hate hypocrisy. It clarifies the issue. It forces people to take a position, and it always gets a response. So build your life on truth. Now, Jesus says that in John chapter 14 and verse 6, let me turn to that real fast. John chapter 14 and verse 6, well, let me get there. When we see in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says something very, very plain. It says here, John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, Come on, camera. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So Jesus says he is the truth. If we turn further into John 17, we can look at verse 17, and we find Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. The Bible is truth. Jesus is truth. So when we say what the Bible says, we get people unifying around their hatred of hypocrisy. We get truth clarifying issues. We're not using linguistics or psychology to bypass what's clear. It forces people to take a decision, to make their positions known, and it forces something, like it gets a response. A lie might not get a response. A lie is designed to go smooth. A lie is meant to just keep things going, to make you lulled into a position of inaction so that the liar can manipulate a maneuver to get their way. That's what lies do, but truth forces a response. Now, this other part that I want to speak to is the fact that when you do life building, you can have your desires. Remember, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says that there are many devices of a man's heart. Remember, we were reading that. There are many devices. It says here, there are many devices in a man's heart. There's many solutions. You have a lot of things that you want to do. You have a buffet option, a buffet table for beliefs. You can believe this, you can do this, you can think you want to do this. This, for many young people, fixates around, what are you going to do for a living? Now think about this, I'll slow down real fast. The core idea is not your identity, it's your purpose. See, you were created for a purpose, because God doesn't do stuff without a purpose. He's a designer, he's a creator, he does stuff. Before God gave the Ten Commandments, God was very clear to rescue the Israelites out of Egypt, to show everybody the Ten Plagues. Which, by the way, the Ten Plagues tracked with the Ten Major Gods of Egypt. So when God was hardening Pharaoh's heart, he could have easily done one plague. Pharaoh would have been like, holy crap, let him go. But God didn't do that. The God of Scripture recognized that these hard-hearted, hateful Egyptians who were persecuting his people were doing so deliberately, and they had their catalog of gods. And God went one by one by one up the chain, just lopping off their credibility, until at the very end, he kills the firstborn son of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was supposed to be God incarnate. He was supposed to be the channel by which the Egyptians spoke to the gods. So whenever the firstborn son of Pharaoh got killed, it showed that not only is he not God, but that their entire stupid belief was stupid. So God took the time to smash every Egyptian god with the plague. Then he delivers them. Then he splits the sea. They cross on dry ground. Right? That means that whenever they were going through a place that was supposed to be muddy, there was no footprints. And this is a picture of baptism in the sense that whenever you are baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, you can't look back and see your footprints anymore. So the sin that you came from is completely washed away because you cross on dry ground through the water, which don't make sense, which is why it is the way that you appeal judicially to Christ's salvation, his mercy and his forgiveness. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. So God does these things. Then God takes them into the wilderness. He feeds them daily, pigeons, manna from heaven, all these other things. He does all these things. And before he gives them the Ten Commandments, he reminds them, I'm the God who got you out of Egypt. Remember what literally just happened? All the plagues, the crossing through the Red Sea, the walking on the dry ground. You remember all that stuff? Roger, now do what I say. So before God ever commands you to do something, he's already given and provided and done so much that you don't deserve. So because of this, now we look at what our life is going to be. We want to build our life. I want to choose where I go. I want to choose what I do for a living. I want to choose how I make my living, how I support my family. You understand that the construction of your idea, the way that your brain builds the concept of who you are, oriented and centered around what you do, is actually undermining your purpose in God. See, if the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, let all things be done to the glory of God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, whether we eat, whether we drink, we do all things for the glory of Lord Jesus Christ. If that's actually our purpose, and it is, then we should be actually looking to this and saying, whatever we do, we're going to serve God in that. I can flip burgers to the glory of God because that's making money. That's an honest living. I can make stairs or build a house or a farm or go to an office job. Whatever it is, my purpose needs to be using what God has given me to bless others. And by blessing others, I'm loving God. I serve God by loving others. We need to get that straight in our heart, and we don't have that. I want to play for you a clip that is riffing on this new advertising phenomena. Now I'm gonna show my age. I'm 38, so I am an older millennial. And at this point, I see things that younger generations are doing, and I am very aware that I am old enough with the white and the gray in my beard to start saying, that's dumb. That is just stupid. I think that what the younger generations are doing is dumb. I fully acknowledge that. I embrace it. I jump on that grenade. That's me. I'm there. One of the things that this younger generation that does is so stupid. It is so dumb. One of the things they do is they take short bite-sized clips and they go, I'm a millennial. Of course I do this. I'm a employee of this. Of course I do this. I'm a dink, dual income, no kids. I'm a dink. Of course this is like they affirm repetitively an attribute. I'm about to show a clip where it says employee of KPMG. I'm an employee of KPMG. And they affirm this attribute over and over and over. And so it works as a chanting. It works as a magical incantation to elevate and centralize the proposition. I'm an employee at KPMG. And then it goes on to list like a benefit or some type of like good thing. And this is supposed to be the hook because the hub is being the employee of KPMG. But all the spokes are all these different advantages. And so the subtext is we are trying to sell the idea of you coming and working at this company because of all these different perks. I think the presentation is stupid. I think it's dumb. I think it's shallow. So there's that, a commentary on the technique, a criticism on the methodology. But then you really think about what it is that they're actually offering. They're offering a freaking desk job at a very large corporation. They want you to be a hamster running a wheel for small bits of cheese in a cubicle where you might be able to look outside the window and see other people in another jungled tall building who are equally cubicled and they are looking at you. So the hamsters in that cubicle, in that building, are working for that major corporation and they are looking outside their fishbowl while they are looking at you and you are a hamster in your hamster cage running the rat race, going over the wheel going, I'm producing for my family. I'm producing for my family. Even though you probably don't have a family if you're doing these types of jobs. And you probably hate your life. So if the first part was about Bill Maher and the idea of speaking about truth, the second part about life building is understand that your purpose is not just about making money with stupid different attributes and benefits. Let me play this video and then we'll do more commentary. Let's hit it.
I work at KPMG. Of course my parents think I file taxes for a living.
I work at KPMG. Of course I'm working from Croatia as part of KPMG's remote work and travel program.
I work at KPMG. Of course I only navigate Excel through keyboard shortcuts.
I work at KPMG. Of course I got a full-time offer before I even graduated.
I work at KPMG. Of course we have the best swag.
I work at KPMG. Of course I have a get jacket for client meetings.
I work at KPMG. Of course I've been here over 10 years.
I work at KPMG. Of course I work with an awesome team of people.
Yeah, and so I don't know why my volume is low. People keep messaging my volume is low. I don't know. Looks like it's right there. So I'll check it in another thing and I'll upload the video to where the volume's better because I always record when I volume. Anyway, this methodology is designed to get people, again, to affirm I'm an employee at KPMG. Now KPMG, I looked it up because I had no idea what it was. KPMG is, let me look this up. It's a multinational professional services network. They basically do people's books, right? Financial audit, tax and advisory. Tax and advisory services and further divided into various groups, past decade, blah, 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 blah. So it's basically talking about, you know, people's taxes and the such. Okay, whatever. It's a business. It's a corporation that does things. What I want to speak to is this idea that most of those women were young professionals. And this is my judgment. This is my absolutely biased judgment. I don't believe that they not a one of them, except for maybe the one that had been there for 10 years. Not a one of them probably had a family, as in children. And so this is the lie that we have life building where women don't shape the futures through their wombs. They're trying to shape it as a hamster in an office cubicle doing taxes for some major global corporation. So you're perpetuating, you're giving the fodder, giving the human capital for these large corporations to facilitate tax audits and the such, which should be a government function if it's done at all. So you're providing the fuel and the fodder, the workforce, the horsepower for these mega corporations to do these large industrial-sized tax audits, which I'd be interested to see if any government actually contracts with them. And I really want to see if there's any self-dealing or self-interest or some type of full disclosure going on there. But you're going to convince these women to give up the most productive and fertile years of their life to go be hamsters in large concrete buildings with baristas in multi-language office settings. And you're going to show one black dude who can use shorthand keystrokes for Excel. This is good. This is the purpose of how things are supposed to be. Doesn't make sense to me. The second part of life building is that your purpose needs to reflect and glorify Christ. And this is one of the most powerful things that you can do because, and this is where people will be like, are you saying that people can't work at global corporations for tax audits and glorify God? First of all, you're dumb if you ask that question. Hyper-technical, super specific, completely ignoring the thrust of where I'm going with this. But at the same time, I would not want to be in that type of position. What I'm speaking to is the fact that God made women women, and here these women are in the position to be married, have a family, have children, and raise and shape future generations. And instead, they're in an office doing audits for taxes. God's purpose is obvious if you just look at what's plain. What is plain? Oh, I'm a woman. Okay, go have a family. Go shape the future through your womb. It's this nasty, devilish idea of feminism that has destroyed the family by deceiving Eve that she can be like man. She can be like a god. Ye shall be like gods. It's one of the first lies. And the lie of feminism is ye can be like man. Ye can be better than a man. And then now men have become women and it's now full circle. It's folly. It's devilish foolishness. The third idea I want to speak about is this idea that other people will influence your life. And so you need to make right decisions to limit the amount that other people can influence your life. And you need to scan and filter, and you need to do the discernment to not let people into your life that can adversely impact you to the best of your ability. Let me give you an example. This tweet right here. This tweet right here says, DC Moore, Skippy DCM says, I hope woke/DEI doesn't get me killed this morning. He's tweeting from a 737 MAX 8. Not but a little while after, you have a Southwest Airlines Boeing 737-8 MAX narrowly avoids a collision with a departing JetBlue Embraer ERJ-190 at Washington Ronald Reagan National Airport. And this, of course, is speaking to this idea that diversity hires, diversity, equity, and inclusion. These airline companies have said in the name of godless communism that they want more black women to fly planes. They want more gay, Aleutian, two-spirited penguins to be able to ride in the cockpit so they can push the button and throttle the engine, and they can do so in the name of, what, diversity, equity, and inclusion? And this is having an adverse impact on air travel to where the fact that these people are probably going to start crashing together in the air. So the lack of competence because of the corporate policy decisions of companies that hate America, hate Jesus, hate you, and want to advance lawlessness, godlessness, lewdness, corruption. And now people are going to be like, well, I need to go fly. And this airline is an airline that elevates skin color and gender above competence. So you have a society and a culture that is so godless, it's elevating its worshipful attributes, the things that it wants to be made sacrosanct, its sacraments. You must bow to the god of womb murder. You must bow to the god of fornication and sodomy. You must bow to the god of, well, I got to pay bills. Let me go fly my plane. Right? Like, you got to do these things in order to not be hateful, in order to be a productive, accepted member of society. This is prejudicial. This is predatory. This is not smart. So if you're in the position, do as much as you can. Be as discerning as you can to not put yourself in a position where you have to rely on these types of people. Do not put yourself in a position where someone who hates Jesus as a core idea of who they are and advances, instead of the gospel, they advance this lawless, godless perspective, DEI, wokeness, all this other stuff. Don't be around those people. As best of your ability, don't be around them. Don't be around the people that are the takers. The Bible speaks about not being a surety, a guarantee for somebody else. Don't be a guarantee for everybody else. Do that very lightly. Because if you bind yourself to someone, you're committed to them. God hates promise breakers. He doesn't like covenant breakers. He keeps his word. So because God keeps his word, he doesn't want you to give your word just flippantly to anybody without counting the cost to make sure that this person actually has their head on straight. They actually have a heart for the Lord, and they're actually going to be a productive member of society, and they're going to do what they say because they've demonstrated it, that they'll do it in the past. We don't have a society like that because we are choosing to build life on ephemeral, light issues that don't matter. But they become so weighty and massive, and you can be debanked and canceled if you don't salute the flag of sodomy. Or of skin color, or of anything like this, which is just dumb. It's just stupid. If I can, I'd like to pivot now, and I'd like to speak to different ways of thinking. This one, I'm going to go to President Trump right now. So I spoke yesterday or the day before about President Trump and this gag order that the judge is putting on him and how it was unconstitutional, and it is. But this is where President Trump's paradigm, President Trump thinks about life in a positive perspective. You know, you can talk about his, preacher growing up, Norman Vincent Peale, which is, you know, basically New Age mysticism. It's the precursor to the modern prosperity gospel. It ain't the gospel. One of the benefits is that he has a positive paradigm of the world and has an expectation of things that are going to be good, which I think is useful because many people are doomsplainers or black pillars, and they think that things are so bad and they can never get better. And I think that's destructive too, because Christ rose from the grave. If Christ rose from the grave, why do you have such a bad outlook on things? Well, because prophecy says that the red heifers have to be killed so the Antichrist can come back. Okay, you're dumb. The Bible doesn't say that. That's a constructed theory. And the effect of that is that Christians have disengaged from the world because they just, well, it's all going to get worse. Might as well not do anything. Might as well not preach the gospel because world's going to get worse. Antichrist is going to come. So anyway, President Trump. This is what I saw. This is a tweet from today. It says, Donald Trump is under a gag order from the judge in New York on the non-disclosure trial, and instead of speaking out against the case, he's reading a sheaf of articles and others lambasting Alvin Bragg's zombie case. The dude is indefatigable. he gets a bunch of articles and he just starts reading them. That's just brilliant. That's just smart. See, this is an idea, this is an example of taking what people are saying not for you to do and then just like accomplishing it by a different direction. Do you see how this is a bypass? Do you see how President Trump is bypassing this stupid unconstitutional order by just, I'm not saying it, I'm just reading what everybody else is saying. See, the entire prosecution, which is trying to nullify President Trump's influence because people like him and they support him and they want him to be president, this whole thing, right? This whole thing is being done this way to get out the message. So I just think that's smart. Hold on, someone's calling me. I gotta say, hold on. Give me 10 minutes. Sorry, I needed to take that phone call, but I'm live, so I gotta stop this. So anyway, what I wanna do is I wanna speak about the fact that President Trump's perspective on life is that he's not going to see the bad things that happen to him and be like, oh. Instead, Romans 12 and verse 21 says, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So this is an example of overcoming with good. Last video here is how to build the life, and that is to focus on your family, focus on the things that God gives. In this case, camping with a 2-year-old daughter. Watch this.
Oh, I see one! No, I don't want Michael Chase.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Children are a gift of the Lord. Your family is precious. You can't replace them. Take care of them, bless them, fight for them, war for them, produce them, love them. It's an amazing thing. Life building comes down to you're going to be telling the truth. The truth is unified because it hates hypocrisy. The world hates hypocrisy. The truth clarifies issues. The truth forces people to take a decision, take a position on truth. And lastly, the truth is always responded to, always responded to. May not be good, it may be evil and violent and hostile, but it is always responded to. So if you want to set the tone, speak the truth. The second idea is this idea that your purpose needs to reflect glorifying the Lord. He put you here. He gave you the talents. He gave you the time. He gave you the opportunity to do stuff. You may as well format and orient everything on doing that for him. If you have to go be a rat race and run on the hamster wheel, God bless you. Try to find a way that you don't have to do that, but that doesn't mean that that is the chosen path. Your chosen path is not to work in a concrete jungle as a hamster in a fishbowl. People have been getting along a lot, you know, mankind has been getting along a long time without doing that. Next, don't put yourself in positions where other people will adversely impact you as best as you can allow, which means have the discretion and use the prudence before just walking into a situation. To include, I gotta go fly. Do you have to go fly? Well, my job, maybe you need to go get a different job. Here's a plane in the air, and it's being flown by these people who aren't qualified to do it, but they're there because they're black, they're women, and they gotta pay the bills. I wouldn't get on that plane. I'm gonna walk in the door, look in the cockpit, say, whoop, about face, boom, out. Out. I'm out. I'm not flying. Y'all guys can have my money this one time. I'm just going to drive. Well, Jaron, what if you have to go across the ocean? I don't have to go across the ocean. Well, what if your business takes you there? My business don't take me there. I got plenty of people right here. You can support a family by loving and serving 200 people. You serve 200 people, that is sufficient for you to provide for your family. 200 people. Loving you, paying you for what you do, how you serve them is sufficient to pay for a family. Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. You can go out and hustle, knock doors, and serve and love 200 people in some shape, form, or fashion. And then lastly, it's this idea that recognize what God gives you, whether that's your family, your health, your time, your opportunities. In many cases, for me, it's been God not punishing me for what I deserve. I work myself into a position and I deserve to get smashed. And then I'm like, God saved me. I don't deserve that, but he's good. So anyway, I just wanted to speak about life building because I think it's one of those things that not a lot of people think or regard, but I think if they did, their life might be improved. The most important part that I do, however, is preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel unto salvation. This is God's power to save. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The gospel of Jesus Christ is God's power to save. We should not be ashamed of it. If you're a Christian, woe unto you if you do not preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. If you're not preaching the gospel, shame on you. And I question whether or not you even believe the gospel. If you can't be talking about your Lord and Savior, the one who purchased you, who paid for your sins with his blood, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. If you can't speak about the King who is reigning on high and loves you to die for you, if you can't talk about it, shame on you. And I question whether you actually believe it. The minimum I can do is point people to the King, to the God, to the Savior who saved my life. The minimum I can do is that. That ain't even the maximum. That's just the bare minimum. And what's so amazing is that Jesus says, preach the gospel. And just as we got done speaking about truth, the gospel is true. So it's going to be unified in the sense that there's no hypocrisy, because Jesus wasn't a hypocrite. He did those things. He was perfect. He took that cross out of love and obedience to the Father and for us. He died, and 3 days later, he physically rose from the grave. There's no hypocrisy there. It clarifies the issue. He is King. He is Christ. He's the only way to God. He's the only way to salvation. And it just it chooses. Are you with Christ or not in Christ? Are you out of him or in him? And then it forces a response. When you hear the gospel and you believe the gospel, the invitation is to obey the gospel. You obey the gospel by repenting and being baptized for the remission of your sins. You do this not because it merits your way into heaven, but because this is how Jesus, through his inspired word to his chosen apostles, said, this is how you call upon the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this promise is given to you and to those who are after you, to those who are far off, and to all those who will be called by God. The invitation is for everybody. The gospel is for everybody. There are people who will not accept it because they don't love Jesus. There are people who will say that they believe, but they don't do it. There will be people who say, well, I believe, but they won't obey. Well, how can you expect to get the benefit if you don't do what Jesus says to do in order to get the benefit? It's very simple. But people will like to layer on man's doctrines that ain't in the Bible, but they'll choose to put lenses on top of their eyes to interpret things into the scripture, when the scripture is just very plain. My life has been blessed since first taking God at his word. When his Bible says something, roger that, I believe it. If I don't understand it, that doesn't mean it's not true. It means I don't understand it. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. If I look at the word of God and I say, well, that's not what that means. Well, maybe I don't know what it means. But that doesn't mean it doesn't mean what it means. And that doesn't mean that God didn't say it. And that doesn't mean that it isn't true. This is the humble position, because it recognizes I am not God. God is God. If God chose to give us the Bible, he did. He says so. John 17 and 17. Right? Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. Speaks about Peter speaks about Paul's epistles as scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 37, Paul refers to his epistles as the commandments of the Lord. So we know the Bible is God's word. We know that the apostles were inspired by the Holy Spirit to say what the Bible says. So we look at what the Bible says, and Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4 says that what was revealed was made plain. It was written down so that whenever you read, you understand. The problem is people don't read their Bibles. They watch videos. They listen to other pastors. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to a pastor. Don't even go to a seminary. Read the Bible. But most importantly, folks, obey the gospel. Friends, the best way that you can support me in the ministry that I have here is to shop. Sign up at patriotswitch.com. When you sign up, someone like myself or with me will call you. We'll say, hey, here's what's going on. You got American manufacturing. There's an online shopping portal. Here's all the products. Here's how they translate. You're used to hearing this product in Walmart or Costco. This is what this product is. It's better because it doesn't have hazardous industrial chemicals. This American manufacturing company has had zero liability payouts in 40 years. 100% American, all American jobs, price competitive, delivered right to your door. The products aren't even 2 or 3 weeks old versus the ones that have been sitting on the warehouse shelves in your major supply stores and your major box stores. That's why they put bad chemicals in them, so that they can extend the shelf life and they can buy it and let it sit there for 5 years. And that way, whenever you buy it, you think, oh, this is a brand new product, but it was made last decade. Don't do that. Instead, go to patriotswitch.com/Jaren, patriotswitch.com/Jaren. Sign up whenever you shop. Jaren gets a benefit. The other way is to do humblewb.coffee. This is a private membership association. And this, you know, I get no benefit from this. This is just this is just another branch of the ministry in order to mail Bibles around the nation. As a free benefit of joining this private membership association, you get delicious air-roasted coffee. No preservatives, no flavorings, no additives. It's pure, organic, air-roasted coffee. The bean is roasted on a cushion of air to perfection. Unlike 99% of coffee roasters that put the bean in a metal bucket, spin it around, and set it on fire, so it's got that ashy, disgusting taste in it, and so they got to load it up with a bunch of stuff, that's 99% of coffees, which is why most people, whenever they drink it, they got to put a bunch of stuff in it because it's a bunch of fake stuff. Instead, HumbleWB.coffee gets delicious air-roasted coffee as a benefit of helping me and other people mail Bibles around the country, which is a blessing. Lord willing, we'll be back on Monday. Until then, my name is Jaren Jackson. I do love America. Do not quit and go to war.